Parents, welcome to another episode of The Journey, a podcast intended to educate, equip, and entertain you as we talk about important issues facing our families. PCA is a Christ-centered, biblically-based, and family-focused community of committed believers doing life together. We hope the information you hear on this podcast informs and inspires you to be a better parent. Welcome to The Journey.
All right, parents, welcome back to The Journey. This is Dan Panetti. I've got a really good friend, a sweet friend, June Hunt. The name might be familiar to a lot of people. I can't remember, 30-something years ago when I came to Dallas, it was such a blessing to get to meet you and to get to know you.
Thank you.
And just Hope for the Heart, for people who know the Hope Center over on Plano Parkway. In fact, we were just there as a school. ACSI had a conference there, and so we were just there at your fantastic ministry. How many ministries are a part of the Hope Center? Do you know?
About 64 right now.
64. That is incredible. And just that part of your ministry is so special, that those organizations get to be a part of that center, utilize those facilities, which are incredible and fantastic. And it's just, it's such a neat way for you to use the blessings that God's given you in your ministry to bless other ministries as well. So thank you.
Well, I remember having questions at times, not knowing, what do I do in this situation? And I kept thinking, I wish there was somebody I knew who had my situation. My friends don't. But, you know, and I remember there was a point at which someone said, well, June, you know, you could have a particular building and have a number of ministries. And we ended up looking for the land and built a building of 185,000 square feet. But the point is, they had to fit a biblical worldview. Every single ministry, they had to be a part of, they had to literally live by what those tenets are from the Bible. And so there was commonality.
Yes.
Not just under the name, a flagship of the word Christian, because that can be all there's Christian
it
Science,
be. It
or can
be,
be
it could
cool,
be so many different things.
So it's been phenomenal, and people just bump into other leaders, and or people in ministry, and literally, it's the iron sharpening iron.
That's so awesome.
So Hope for the Heart built it. Now we've spun it off into its own 501c3.
Oh, that's so neat. So good. Well, there's so many things that I could talk to you about. In fact, you handed me as we were kind of preparing and going through, you handed me some of the things that you're dealing with difficult relationships, and then hot topics, and some of the things that you've been teaching on recently, and they go anywhere from abortion, bullying, childhood sexual abuse, domestic abuse, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, cancel culture, suicide prevention, transgender. So this is just one, right? And then the other one, you're talking about relationships, conflict resolution, manipulation, confrontation, vertical and emotional or verbal and emotional abuse, forgiveness, critical spirit, codependency, reconciliation. And it's funny because I was talking to somebody and I said, oh, well, June Hunt's going to be on the podcast. They're like, what are you going to talk to her about? And I was like, that's always the fun part, right? Because the thing I love about talking to you is because your book that you use for guidance, right, is the Bible, there isn't anything we can't talk about.
There are principles that the average person knows nothing about that are in the Bible.
Yes.
They have no idea that sometimes what they will even say, and I'm talking about people who are not Christians, they will believe a particular mindset, and they don't even know it's biblical.
That's right.
But truth sets us free. Truth is transcultural.
Yes.
It's around the globe. And so we need to be able to address, and again, my joy for years when we started, it was literally 38 years ago on radio. And then I started writing basically 100 topics and dealing with definitions, characteristics, causes, and solutions. The point of my saying that is I knew that there are times when there would be something really wrong, but it was like, for example, childhood sexual abuse.
Right.
Not one Christian book was in existence I knew the best book that was out, written by a homosexual woman and a mother who had been, I don't know the credentials, but I just know, but it was not a Christian book. Right. And I thought, how could there not be a Christian book on this topic when one in three girls, one in five boys are victims of childhood sexual abuse? Those statistics are staggering.
Yeah.
And typically, children don't talk about it. They don't know how to. They haven't been trained. So there are all kinds of ways that we can help them. But a number of years ago, I started teaching this course, a three-year course called Counseling Through the Bible. And so we, and then we added more than the original 96, like verbal and emotional abuse. Jesus, is he God? Yes, I should have had that in there. But the point is, people want to know so many. It's like, oh, if God said it in his word, if it's authoritative,
right,
okay, then I will believe it. If God said it, and all scripture is useful.
That's right.
For confronting, rebuking, but helping us all think as God wants us to think.
Yeah. That's one of the great things about the Bible, is it doesn't leave us wondering
right
about what is true, about what is right, about what is good, and how to live in accordance with those particular principles. And so if you want to know, that's the great thing, is you can go to the Word of God and you can see and understand, here's how God has designed things for them to work according to his design. Now, you don't have to live that way. You can choose not to, right? But the pain and the suffering and the heartache that comes with it is because you've chosen to reject the design and
right
the designer, right? And that's one of the things that you've been able to help people understand, that's what that pain shows, right? Just like when you touch a hot stove and you pull your hand away, right? You've been given these sensors to help you understand, oh, that's painful, be careful of that. And God's given us those same principles in life as well.
I love that illustration. By the way, I know that your forte is helping people think biblically.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about just one strata. You're talking about parents. You're
right
talking about students, people who are faculty members. We all need to know how to think biblically, and many times we were just not exposed. I mean, I started out not knowing anything. Mm. I had no Bible. Well, I knew the Lord's Prayer
right
because of a church I had been in, but there was no Bible taught at all in Sunday school or anything like that. So I noticed, like, to then see all these other students
right
who, I thought, how do they know that?
Yeah, you feel ill-equipped and overwhelmed. And
they could actually turn. I mean, I had no idea how to open a Bible and go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, and you can't help what family you grew up in
right
or what the conditions were. And some of us grew up in painful homes, but we don't have to stay there as adults. The scripture is very clear. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but now that I'm an adult,
yes,
I put childish ways behind me. So I've got to be able to think in a way that is right in God's sight. And then, oh my goodness, you know, everybody, Dan, looks for at least one person who's wise.
That's right.
Everyone wants to know a wise person.
Yeah.
Now, when you're that wise person, you don't ever have to worry about being lonely. I mean, you're going to have all these people who will want and need wise counsel
That's
from
right
you.
That's right.
So I think it's a privilege to be able to deal with not just principles, but how do you solve this problem? What do you do when this is a sticky situation?
Mm.
And so that's our joy at Hope for the Heart, our ministry, whether it's on radio with Hope in the Night, a call-in counseling program, it doesn't matter. People all around want, they're looking for someone wise, and why not it be you?
That's what I love. Psalm 119, 130 says, right, the unveiling of God's word gives wisdom to the simple.
Uh-huh.
So you may not think of yourself as a wise person, but that's okay. If you have the word of God, it's his wisdom that you're sharing anyway.
And you're going to learn
that's what you
as
do.
Over time. You're going to learn.
Implement it and put it into practice, and wisdom will come with it.
That will. Thank you.
So one of the things we want to talk about, you actually have a resource, a book called Bonding with Your Child Through Boundaries. And it's kind of an interesting perspective because right now, permissive parenting, parents who want to be friends with their kids, it's very difficult to say no. Everybody else is doing it, and so why can't we? That's kind of the mainstream. But you would say that boundaries are healthy, and not just for the child, but really for that parent-child relationship. That you need to establish those boundaries and you need to be able to say no to certain things. And so help our parents understand, what does that look like when you're parenting through boundaries? How do you figure out what those boundaries are, and how do you establish some of those healthy boundaries with your kids?
Well, as a former youth director, I could see families that were thriving and some where the kids were whether you call it rebelling, there were some rebels, but or some that just weren't thriving.
Right.
And at the time, I had been just a college student, and the pastor at my church said, "You are going to be our junior high director." And there were 600 in the junior high division. And much later, I wrote the book I needed called Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. What I learned is because I became a true, authentic Christian through the youth ministry, I knew what it was like to have a changed life through Christ.
Right.
And what I saw were all these kids that they had something. I didn't know what they had, but whatever it was, I wanted. And then having a changed life myself and having no exposure, though, before that, and no exposure to authentic Christianity, I thought, what a shame. Why didn't I hear? I was in a church.
Sure.
Why did I not anybody explain about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That was foreign language. And I thought, you know, there's so many people who they want to do what's right, but they just don't have exposure. So this is why this type of podcast or this opportunity to deal with real issues are huge.
Yeah.
Because you can't help what you don't know, but you can later learn.
That's right.
And that's part of the iron sharpening iron. Be around other people. And as I think about it, I remember my first day on the job. There was a boy who was he was where we were going to help people, the kids know to go to the right, go to the left, you know, arrows and all. And he was tearing the slats down in the afternoon. And I thought, interesting.
Yeah.
So I slowly walked up to him and I said, "Hi, I'm June. My name is June, and I'm the new youth director here, the junior high director. What's your name?"
"Jerry."
I said, "Hi, Jerry. I just wonder, would you be able on occasion, if I don't know someone's name and I don't won't know their names, could I say, 'Jerry, who is that? Do you know the kids here?'" Well, and he wasn't real committal, but then I said, "You know, there might be some things I would need to really know that where you could help me." And now he kind of looked up and because instead of being destructive, I said, "By the way, I've got a whole bunch of watermelons. I've got to get on the top floor, four floors. Do you have some buddies?" And, you know, now he started flexing his muscle. He kind of moved his shoulders a certain way and I kind of flexed his muscles. I said, "I would really appreciate it if you could get some buddies to help get these watermelons four flights up." "Okay." Well, the point is, I later learned he had come, he was in a family, five boys, no dad in the home. The mom works two jobs, and he's the middle child. And later, I saw him on a bus, on a choir tour, just a loner. People didn't sit with him, and he had a book. And I said, hey, Jerry, what's your book? And then he kind of showed it to me, F stops. I said, F stops? You mean cameras? He said, yes. And I said, do you like cameras? Yeah. And I said, well, what kind of camera do you have? And then he just looked at his shoes. I don't have a camera. I said, well, if I got you a camera and got you the film, paid for the film, would you be our official photographer for all of these events that we're doing? And he looked at me. Yeah. And in his senior year, he brought me the annual. And it said, Jerry Quillen, photography.
Oh, wow.
For all this, and, you know, several thousand students. And later in the summer, he drowned. And then a year later, his mom came up to me. He said, June, there were only two people who believed in Jerry.
Yeah.
It was you and the choir director. And he said, she said, it just changed his life. So we don't know what the potential is. Mm. Now, there is such a thing as a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
A boundary is a line that should not be crossed if there's a rule, a law.
Sure.
In our culture, that's a whole other story.
Yes,
but
it is.
But let's talk about personal boundaries.
Okay.
So if there's a line that should not be crossed, and let's say the parents say, we don't want our children doing this, whatever it is.
Sure.
And it obviously, you'd say stealing, hitting, drugs, all these things. If the line is crossed, there's a repercussion, two R's. Repercussion if they cross the line, reward if they don't.
Okay.
Repercussion, reward, repercussion, reward. And the point of that is we need to be clear that you're going to choose. Dan, let's say you're a young boy.
Mm-hmm. Relatively young.
Yeah. And you're told, do not, okay, let's say you're 16 and you have a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
New driver's license.
Gotcha.
And mom and dad say, you've got to be very aware you don't drive on a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
What if you think, hey, it's no big deal. And so you're starting to drive on the sidewalk. You know, you're on the main road, but then you go over on the sidewalk. What could happen to you?
Lots of bad things.
Like what?
I could hit somebody.
That's right.
I could get a ticket.
Yeah, especially if the policeman's right there.
That's right.
And if you start acting out, you could be taken in.
Yeah.
You know, your car could be hurt by hitting property, all kinds of things.
Yes.
There are repercussions that are very, they're important because if you're a guy with a new car, meaning it new to you, you're going to want to continue to be able to drive that car.
That's right.
But if your dad had said, son, if you violate the law, that's on the books for driving. That means we will have to withdraw your privilege of driving.
Yes.
Well, but you think no big deal. You know, parents say this. Oh, and then all of a sudden now you have gotten a ticket for driving on the sidewalk. What do you think a parent should do because that son got a ticket? Dan Panetti got the ticket.
Yeah, follow through on what they said.
Yeah. The follow through is going to be the most important part. And this is where many parents, they can be good people, but not good parents if they don't follow through.
Yeah.
That act of literally saying, son, we want you to drive the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have it. But you've chosen the repercussion. You have chosen to now not have use of that car for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is.
Right.
And that is what is valuable about boundaries. It's not that you're a mean dad, mean mom,
mm-hmm.
if you literally follow through on the repercussion. But do you understand? It's the son, the daughter, who is choosing actually to receive the repercussion by their actions,
right.
yeah. as long as they knew that it was wrong.
Yeah.
So what we did in this book, Bonding with Your Child Through Boundaries, the publisher said, would you do this book not just for teens, but for also for children? So we have age-appropriate boundaries that are very practical. So either book, it depends on the age of the kids.
Yeah. Is there such thing as a bad boundary? As I'm a parent and I'm establishing those boundaries, because here's the thing, the Word of God doesn't give me necessarily principles over all aspects of parenting in terms
Correct.
Of, when do I give my child a cell phone and how much time do I let them stay on? And I don't remember anything about Snapchat in God's Word. I do know it's a waste of time for kids to be on. We'll just throw that in there for parents. But is there a bad boundary, though? I mean, do I look at what everybody else is doing in setting the boundaries? How do I figure that out?
Well, let's consider this. Let's say there is an event that is a school event.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a sports event. It could be something that will typically be over at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Now, if you say, well, you have to be in by 9 o'clock. There's no drive time.
Okay.
To move.
Don't take into consideration just things that, right?
You're
placing the boundaries because they need a boundary, but you're not really thinking through all the implications.
And therefore, to be wise
mm-hmm.
about what you're doing, I think at issue is this an issue of rebellion? And many times it is.
Mm-hmm.
I received a call from a pastor's wife, daughter, and she had a 15-year-old son.
Okay.
And I was very surprised. I got pulled in on this recently, and when I talked with the two parents, they said, well, we have boundaries, but we've been lax.
Okay.
And so it ended up that the pastor had me come to the church in Birmingham, Alabama, and address this whole thing for the parents and the leadership, because it can seem, I'm being a nice parent, to not go through with the repercussion. But no, you're training kids to disobey. You're training them to not follow through.
That's a good way to put it.
And we have to be aware it's repetition that enforces what is right.
Yeah.
So, and she said, and this is somebody who was wise in the Lord and all, but she said, this is an area we just let him get away with a number of things And now it's escalated. Yeah. And so I said, you've got to be consistent. And you're going to say, you know, son, we love you and we'll always love you. We're for you. We'll always be for you. But you've chosen at times to go against our house rules. Mm-hmm. And the house rules are designed to do what is right. And by the way, who can set the house rules? Who pays for the house? Whether it's an apartment, but that abode where that child is there, they're the ones, the parents or whoever's paying for it. Well, and I always ask that question if I'm talking with the kid. Well, you know, tell me, who is, I'm thinking about a girl right now, and she was upset that her parents were requiring her to check in mm-hmm. for something.
Mm-hmm. How unfair.
yeah, totally unfair. And she knew I would agree with her because her parents were not the best. But I said, now, who pays for the roof over your head? And she was surprised. She said, Mom. And I said, and who's paying for the food that you eat and your education? Mom. I said, then, yes, once a week, if she says we need to check in, we need to talk.
Right.
Yeah, and she was stunned. Because she knew I would take her side, no. And the point there is it's appropriate for parents to set house rules. Mm-hmm. Whether you call it something else, that's fine. That's not the issue. It's looking at what is in the best interest of helping your child for the future.
Right.
It's kind of preparing your kite for flight. There are times when you need to run with the kite if you're into kites. And it's been a while since I've flown a kite, but I remember you have to run for a while, and then you increase the string as you run, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
We allow more and more string so the kite can fly higher and higher.
Yeah, so good. Thinking of just real life scenario, I mean, I can think of so many different things, right? But you've obviously had, exposure, just as you've walked through life, not only your own life, but, your counseling. Just kind of give us an example of what, a parent might deal with a child, kind of how to set that boundary and then what to do specifically again, right, when that child either violates that or, even the reward aspect. What does that look like?
Well, first of all, think about children, little ones, mm-hmm. little tykes, and they have been given a tricycle. Mm. Well, they're going to want to go out and ride that tricycle. And they're told, do not go beyond the curb.
Yeah.
You cannot go into the street.
Yeah.
You must not go into the street. Well, let's say Mom is looking out the window and all of a sudden she's thinking, oh no. And there could be some teenagers who are actually riding bikes on the street. So do you just let her, this little girl, ride the tricycle in the middle of the street?
I hope not.
No. I mean, you're responsible for helping them understand. They don't have a great comprehension of danger.
Right.
I mean, kids, they don't mind putting their hands on a hot stove until all of a sudden they now withdraw.
Yeah.
Appropriately so, because it's burning their hands, but they don't get it until they experience it. So what we would have to understand is if you say, do not ever, you must never ride your tricycle in the street because you can be killed. Understanding that the parents will understand much more about danger, but the boundary would be, and if you do this, then you will not be able to ride your tricycle, and you decide what the time is for a period of time. Because typically they would want to be able to get back on that tricycle. Same would be true for a bicycle. Yeah. But you start early with children. Yeah. And
do you think some parents, so let's say you're watching out the window and they're riding in the street and nothing happens. Right. So now it's the, they were in the street and they should get a consequence, but because nothing happened, right, now I don't want to be the bad guy and come in there and take the tricycle away, take the phone away, take the this away, because really nothing happened. And they wait for, in a sense, something bad to happen, and they just, right, they put boundaries, but they just hope that nothing bad happens, even if you violate the boundaries.
Then you're training a child to be dangerous, and you know better. You're the adult.
Yeah.
And the question is, who's going to be the adult in the home? It needs to be the adult. It needs to be the parent or the guardian. You're not creating a hardship if you say, honey, I'm for you. I want you to be able to ride your tricycle or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I want you to be able to use the car. But if you choose to do this, I remember one day I was sitting on an airplane, and I was next to a student, a college student, and I said, tell me, did your parents ever have a boundary for you that you exceeded and you had a repercussion?
Okay.
So, yes. Mm. I said, could you tell me what happened? And he said, I grew up in Tyler, Texas, and I'm a student at A&M. My senior year, I didn't think my parents would know what time I came in, so I came in at 2 o'clock, and they were both sitting there waiting for me. And then they withdrew my car privilege in my senior year for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I said, did you feel that that was excessive? He said, yes, at the time. He said, but I think all kids would say that. I said, well, what happened? He said, I had to get friends to come by and pick me up on school days. They had to pick me up. And if I had an extracurricular activity, they'd have to take me there.
Mm-hmm.
And different ones would have to do things because of things I was involved in. I said, what do you think has been the impact? Was there any impact on you later? He said, yes. Today, at A&M, as a student, I watch my watch like a hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that down. I wrote that down. I watch my watch like a hawk to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
That's right.
He said, because of that repercussion, I really felt that it impacted the way I viewed time. I said, how do you feel about your parents doing what they did, knowing it was a challenge for you to get rides? He said, I think they're great.
Yeah.
I think they're just great. And so it's kind of like parents can at times – be afraid of being accused of wearing a black hat. Mm-hmm. The parents don't want to be the villain. A dad doesn't want to be the villain. And they think, oh, I don't want my son, my daughter to get upset with me. But, you know, when I thought about that guy, that student, when he came back and said, I think my parents are great. And when he said that, it dawned on me, the parent who could be viewed as wearing the black hat finds that later the hat turns white. Mm. In Westerns, years and years ago, you always knew who the villain was. It was the guy with the black hat. Yeah. The hero was always the guy with the white hat. And in time, your kids will have perspective. And I think there's one thing that's important, Dan. A lot of parents do not know, much less the students themselves. They don't know that the brain does not fully develop until age 25 to 28. The brain is not fully developed. And so what they're thinking is okay or right mm-hmm. may not be at all aligned to what's best for their brains. And so those that are ingesting certain things that can very much just harm their body, yeah. They don't, it's not reality to them. So just be aware that you have to, as a parent, take responsibility to do what's best in behalf of your son or daughter. Yeah. In fact, what is so obvious is much, much later, and I've seen this happen over and over again, those who had parents that had right kinds of healthy boundaries, mm-hmm. The kids come back and say, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I needed what you exposed me to. I didn't see it at the time, and I didn't want the repercussion, but I see that it was beneficial for me yeah. in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, it may be easier to be a permissive parent and the kids may like it better, but nobody when they get older is ever thankful for those permissive parents. So I love that you've written a great book, Bonding with Your Child Through Boundaries, the importance of boundaries, helping some parents understand how to establish them, how to enforce them. And it's for the betterment of not only the child when they're young, keeping yes. them safe, but it's to help them to be a successful adult as well. And I think that's the important part of parenting. Just at the end, I want to mention, because one of the great things you do is you do so many great things to help the church. And as a Christian school, as a part of a church, we're so much of a beneficiary of this. But in June, there's a note here, it's June 22nd. You're actually hosting an event dealing with mental health and the church. Such an important thing. I think maybe one of the great things that we've seen over the last 5 to maybe 10 years is where mental health awareness has gotten a little bit more of its due, that people are paying attention to our mental health, not just our physical health, not just our spiritual health, but we are body, soul, and spirit. And so just our minds and that whole thing is such an important, because you've been on it for years, and I'm glad that you're helping train the church and so many people are paying attention to this as well. So there's going to be a great event. We will put more, a link to it, right? Hopefortheheart.org/church is going to be where you can go and you can find out more about that. Anything you want to say on that in particular?
There's a big concern of a number of young people. They are struggling, or parents, with depression, yeah. anxiety. Huge, yes. has now even been more on the increase than depression, so anxiety. Suicide hurts my heart when I realize yeah. so many snuff out their lives, and I think it's vital that they understand. I was with a 13-year-old, and he had already written a suicide note to his parents and to his siblings.
Oh, boy.
And he was a redhead, and his mom worked at our ministry in my home office, and she told me about this. I said, would I be happy to talk with Lincoln if you wish? And so I did talk with him, and she wanted that. I said, Lincoln, I want you to be aware of one vital scripture. God says, I know the plans I have for you, mm-hmm. plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, if he says, I know the plans I have for you, Lincoln, you don't have to know the plan. You don't have to know the multiple plans. He says, the one who created you, and this is Jeremiah 29:11, that should be written down in your Bibles or underlined in your Bibles, mm-hmm. Or write it down on a card. And I had him to write it down on a card. I said, do you understand the God who created you has plans for you? You won't know the plans, but he knows the plans. Your job is to yield your will to his plan, giving Jesus control of your life. And he was willing to do that. He was being bullied at school. Mm-hmm. He's a redhead, and so they were kidding him about that, and he was not that tall. And what stunned me was a month later, he enrolled for school, and all of a sudden, he was assigned a different school. And then he ends up being on the football team. And I said to his mother, he must be very fast, because he wasn't big, mm-hmm. he wasn't brawny. Mm-hmm. She said, he's very, very fast. I said, is he a receiver? She said, yes, he's good at that. His hands are really good. So, and I did not expect that fast a turnaround, but I asked that mother yesterday, tell me about Lincoln. Mm-hmm. She said he loves school now. And so there was a huge change.
Yeah. I think that's one of the great things, right, is there may be some difficulties that our kids are going through, some hardships, but if you can help them and find a connection, especially with an adult, right, that can see, as you said, see the Lord's potential in their life, the plans that he has for them, and you can help them to begin to see it. Our kids can make it through some difficult things, even bullying and other kids their own age. That's one of the biggest things. Other kids their own age, right? When a young person looks at other people their own age and thinks what they think about them is important, it's like, no, they're just as young and dumb as you are, right? What does God say about you? And then what do some adults see in you? I think that's what we need to make sure that we remind our kids of, because, you know, the adults can see the hope and the potential and the value
in
the
they young need person, to hear.
And they need to hear it. We need to say it to them.
Yes.
Right? When you see value in a person, a young person's life, speak that into them and tell them what you see as God's design for them.
That's and I had reminder. Him, I said, I want you to read this in the morning when you wake up. I want you to read it sometime during the day, Jeremiah 29:11, yeah. and sometime before you go to bed. Read that and thank him that he has the plan for you.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, June, thank you so much. Thanks for your years of ministry, an incredible organization that has blessed so many people and is blessing our school and just our parents as well. So we appreciate your time.
My joy. Thank you.
Thank you for investing the time to listen to this episode of The Journey. Please take a minute to share with friends and family who will also benefit from this valuable resource. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast app. It is truly our blessing and honor to walk with you on The Journey.